actually a technical talk also on layer 2 UX design patterns, I should have added. A lot of people thought it's about development, but it's about design actually. So how many of you are actually familiar with layer 2 technologies, know how plasma state channels work? How many don't? Okay, a few. We will have a tiny primer about that so that you can get up to speed. So on the agenda, I will give a tiny detail about precedent for the framework of how we went out and found these principles, tiny principles. The primer on layer 2 technology so that those that don't know understand what we're talking about. And then there are these layer 2 design patterns, very, very little and few patterns because there's not been much time to test with real users. I could test only with you, we'll tell you about that, and a summary of the insight. And of course, in the middle, is it going? Yeah, it's going, okay. We will have the voices of the users, okay? There's these bubbles of things that people and users actually told me. I've interviewed non-crypto users, but crypto curious users also. And they will be speaking in the middle of the presentation so that you can hear the voices as well. So last year we presented this Web3 design decision-making framework. It was a tool that came out from the interviews of many different companies in the space that helped us map the different problems users have into different types of buckets, questions that were fundamental to decentralization, and things that are related to the technicalities of the blockchain. This is interesting because it leads to how we found the design patterns and also why we started doing the layer 2 design patterns. So what we found out is that of course there's new mental models and there are also new complicated concepts, and these fit in different things, and the solutions that these companies were using range into different buckets as well. If you want things that you could hide, you should hide to the user, and things that are technical you cannot hide, you should explain better. I'm not going through the whole presentation that was last year, but just a simple example to understand, like gas is a multi-dimensional problem. You can have things that you can hide away, like what is gas, best price, best limit. Designers and projects have had a lot of success in hiding this information. But there are other things like why is there a price at all? Who is it getting it? That you need to find better explainers for this. And these happen also in the layer 2. And of course, the solutions these companies were using could be mapped out in here, and so this is where the layer 2 comes in, which is there was a high degree of consensus among developers and designers working in this space that sometimes it's okay to have a server, tiny server, that helps you in the middle, that there is a degree of centralization, especially for newcomers, for non-crypto users. Okay, it's okay to help them by the hand and then onboard them onto real decentralized technology. And so this is why I thought that layer 2 had that promise of bringing that degree of centralization, but it still has the security of layer 1. So right now, a primer on state channels and on plasma. And state channels, they all basically were more or less the same thing. You have layer 1 technology, the blockchain, the Ethereum blockchain, where you have a smart contract. You drop in or you lock in some tokens, some ether, okay? And anything can happen off-chain, either in the case of state channels, these are like normal server transactions where two parties, Alice and Bob, sign each other messages, and so you are constantly like messaging each other the new state, and you agree on that state. It's always the last state. And whenever you want to withdraw, you go back to layer 1, and there is where the security comes in, through a challenge period. Maybe this guy wants to cheat, but this guy here has the last state, and so it's mathematically provable that this guy will win. The layer 1 security ensures that anything that happens off-chain is secure, okay? And there is peer-to-peer networks, like me connected with Alberto, right? Yeah. Or through hubs, intermediaries if you want, where a lot of users are connected together, okay? Plasma is a little bit different, but has the same concept. You have the main layer one chain, where you have a contract, you deposit tokens and Ether in there as well. And what happens off-chain is actually another chain, but that has a faster throughput. They have less validators, there's you can have like 2,000 transactions per second, more or less here, and you're committing periodically every 32 seconds, more or less?
Blocks.
Minutes.
Blocks.
Blocks, 32 blocks, thank you. You're committing that state into the chain. So this is the difference between state channels and Plasma, which is in Plasma you need periodically to send transactions on chain and to register information. In state channels you don't. And they are called optimistic layers, if you want, because you don't resort to layer one until you actually need it. If we are behaving well, you don't need to go on layer one. Well, Plasma does this thing, but if only in the case we are behaving badly, you go on to layer one. And sidechains, maybe you have heard of this thing, sidechains are not layer two, we'll talk about that, is basically an atomic swap between two different chains. So there's Ethereum or Bitcoin or whatever, we deposit one token and it's minted on the other side. But I'm not going to talk about this because sidechains are not layer two. And actually, right now there is another talk somewhere downstairs exactly about this. Side node, side by this guy. So if you hear, sidechains are not layer two. And okay, said this. I need to speed up. We did interview people in the space and users. My mission is to onboard my mother and my brother. Okay. And so I tried to talk to non-crypto users. Only few of them, five of them, because there wasn't much time with people releasing stuff right before DEFCON to actually have something in our hands to test with. There's three main moments in the design or the user flow. Okay, you need to enter the system, you need to use the system, and exit the system. And in these two cases, you also have two side things, which is normally you would think of transactions, but transactions is a pattern that works inside of wallets or when you transact value. But in this case, you can also transact state of applications, you know. So you should not call them transactions if you want. And the exit has two patterns, which is I'm exiting fine, I'm friends with my friend, and I just go fine, or adversarial. And entering the system. So, unfortunately today this is a problem. You still need to go through layer one to get into layer two, and so everybody's still presenting with, hey, save your key, back up your wallet, so my dream was shattered right at the first step, you know? Yes, we can onboard non-crypto users. No, not yet. And, of course, there's a solution for this. Of course, the question is, what the fuck is a key? Okay, this is a literal question users ask. And this solution is, of course, to use contract-based accounts, universal logins. You might have heard those. Those solve that onboarding process. Please start using contract-based accounts, everybody. Then, there are so many accounts. In some cases, you need to have your Ethereum key, your normal Ethereum wallet, then a contract-based account, and in some cases you need to have your own pillar or your own sidechain state channel or Plasma card, like if it was a bank account, if you want. So these are like three wallets, and people of course ask, why do I need another wallet? No, seriously, why do I need another wallet? They repeat this thing, they know they have to do this step, but they don't grasp the meaning, and wallets today don't make the effort to explain what are these things. And, of course, if you can, just onboard them directly here, abstracting this information and getting them directly onto layer 2 if you want. Or explain, if you want, what is one wallet, why do I need another wallet, etc. Pick a token. This is a problem. State channels and all the Plasma say, hey, you can onboard with any token, deposit any token. So a new user goes there and sees, which one do I choose? And there's a lot of things called ETH, and this is one of the questions they have, like, which one do I pick, you know? Well, what the fuck is a token also is one of the questions. and which one should I pick, and what am I paying this to? Yeah, so they have no clue of why exactly they're doing this and why they're onboarding on TDB's wallets. So pattern here is give optionality, new users simplify, just give one option, maybe die or whatever, we'll talk about that. And expert, yes, you can expand and choose your own, always be there. And hide options until exit, maybe you decide when you exit what token do you want, etc., etc. And explain better the difference. This was one of the solutions from the previous framework that works. Then what's your language is yet another pattern that all these people start using developer lingo. Okay, these words don't mean anything, and deploy doesn't mean divide. This is an actual question a user had. So deploy layer 2, layer 1 doesn't mean anything at all for users. So experimental layer 2, yes, it's experimental, it's internal for us, but not good for non-crypto users yet. So simplify the language, hide the technical complexity if possible, which was a solution from the framework we said earlier on. Then using the system, we're on step 2, and right now this is not a DAI, okay? This is one of the biggest insights, if you want, of this research. They were very confused because these wallets, there's different type of wallets in state channels, in Plasma, etc., they all use DAI. But when you are inside of these networks, the DAI of network 1 is not the DAI of network 2, is not the DAI of the main chain. So my users actually try to send each other DAI from a state channel from the layer 1 wallet or to another state channel wallet, and they did not understand why they were not the same DAI, and there's no sign whatsoever in these softwares already that this is a custom DAI, if you want. So let me try to send it to a friend, okay? This is one of the insights that we are multiplying the complexity, not simplifying it, unfortunately. And so solutions here is, of course, like it was written in the design principles a very long time ago, define or explain what the network you are using. You need to be transparent about that, or you make it interoperable. This is an invitation for all the layer 2 and developers to talk together and say, hey, yes, we can call it DAI. If somebody tries to send it to someone else, we should, behind the curtains, be converting and onboarding it onto the other network, or work together somehow. And better naming, of course, because of this problem here, the many tokens, okay, if maybe they should be called DAI State Channel 1, DAI Plasma 1, etc. So that, so also because they could find each other better. But, so this is not a DAI, and what else? Multiple transactions, this I'll go very fast of it. There is the idea that transactions go very fast, but in the case of Plasma, you still need to have nonces and wait for a transaction to be there. And Plasma has the problem that the finality of that transaction is not instant. In state channel is instant. As soon as you receive it, that's it. In Plasma, you need to wait that this information is actually put the 32 blocks later, but you can assume that everything goes well. But there's a problem of timing in there. And there's a new pattern emerging of using state channels inside a Plasma channel, which is an open question. How that works, how that will work for the users, open question. And for me personally, I think that we should find a technical solution to overcome transaction sequentiality. The nonsense have confused a lot of users. They needed to wait until one transaction came back, or that has fucked a lot of users in the past. And doubt about using, like there's generic problems, like you have onboarded, but then you don't offer the next thing. There's a user like saying, what do I do now? And also, it said free, but I continuously see different transaction fees, and they don't understand what these transaction fees are. So you need to be wary of using the right words, because this is actually, I said, what the fuck, it said free, but it's worse than Monopoly. They are screwing me at every step we make. So this was actual comments that we had. very snarky users. And design the user's next step. This is basic behavioral design. It doesn't pertain to layer two. And don't say three or don't say layer one. Watch your language again, etc. Open questions. This is because not much could be used yet, again. There is this idea of agreements. In state channels, when you enter a channel with someone, okay, you are making an agreement about when the exit will happen, how long it will take, okay? So this agreement is a new pattern, okay? There is not yet anything that we could test. I personally think that we should make them flexible and dependent on the amount of balance that you are exiting. If you're exiting one coffee value, you simply do it right away, or it's 2 minutes or whatever. If you are exiting $200 or $1,000, maybe that time span expands flexibly. Right now it's fixed, so that's one of the things that I think they need to work on. And how are we going to manage many open channels? Because if it's peer-to-peer, theoretically, I could have a channel with each of you. In my wallet, I would have like thousands of lines. Or if I have a hub, I would have the hub with a thousand of lines with the people I might have connections with. The apps would be installed in my wallet. And this is good to hear that also MetaMask yesterday's introduced the fact that they have these plugins ideas that you will have apps inside of your wallet to manage. And yeah, you need to differentiate these things. Yeah, how state channels inside of Plasma will work, we have no clue. And hide as much as possible, interoperate, this is what these solutions probably are. And exiting the system, this is the science fiction-y, because right now it's only ideas, there's nothing implemented. The only company that had designed something is Seller, it's a game actually, Seller X, where did a good job in calling it court mode, okay? So they use that nice language to explain that there is a challenge happening and how it works. And so this idea of exiting, that you could have challenges happening, okay, has a requirement on the technology that you as a user need to be looking all the time at the chain. And this is a no-go for UX. So there are people coming out with watchtowers. These are the name, one of the companies called PISA is developing the watchtowers. And so this is one of the unknowns, how this part will behave, you know, from the user perspective. My opinion is users won't need to worry too much about the challenge if you can't hide it. There's a consensus, or there's three different approaches right now. Either the app itself watches the chain for you, so if you connect every once a week or whatever, it solves it automatically for you. If you or the app buy the service of a watchtower, so it's a service that is looking and it's going to say, hey, you have a problem, I'll send you a notification on your mobile phone about this state. Or DAOs among the people participating in this channel saying, that company, product, or user is being malicious, I'll kick him out and simply offset the pricing for the user in case. In Plasma, you have also these multiple fees to exiting, okay? Since in Plasma right now, one of the constructs is to have 2 weeks or 1 week when you actually exit before you can get your money, okay? There are people that are creating crypto economic finality. So there are services that say, hey, you as a user, you don't want to wait 1 week. So let me take your risk. I'll buy your Ether within 1 week for a 1% fee or for a 2% fee. So there are services that are going to gather a fee for you to recover your money right away. A user wants to recover the money right away, and this is the ideal solution. This is why I'm not totally convinced about the Plasma construct, especially from a user perspective, but those are solutions that are coming. And so you see there's a more complexity still rather than less, which was my hope. And in general, in the whole space and in layer 2 space as well, we need to balance or explain better this idea between cost and responsibility, okay? And in layer 2 it's becoming more apparent, okay? You can have more cost or less cost, sorry, be cheaper, the transaction, if you as a user take more responsibility on waiting, doing watching, waiting the exit, etc. Or if you want the convenience, it's going to be more expensive, but it's more convenient. So this is something that is unsolved today, I think, in the whole ecosystem, and especially in layer 2. I'm done. I have one more slide. I'm done. So this is the summary. Basically, try to interoperate so that people are not confused with multiple kind of tokens. Try to hide as much of the technological methodologies behind, okay, and make it simpler to the user. Use universal login type of wallets or contract-based wallets or accounts so that users don't need to store private keys, etc. And we simplify that initial step. And maybe we have something to onboard my mother and my brother. Thank you.